And that is the first stanza of On Jordan's Bank, The Baptist Cry. And with us is Reverend Mark Smith on this Tuesday, Rumination Tuesday, on December the 5th in the year of our Lord. How you doing, Mark?
You cut off John the Baptist right in the middle of the second verse.
Well, that's because I wanted to just begin it so people are going to have to stay on to see what he was going to say.
Pretty good ad lib, Baker.
Yeah. A lot of pastors cut out John the Baptist from the entire sermon.
That's true, too.
Very little preaching of proper law these days.
Yeah.
But, yes, we're into Advent. And you'll be hearing more of this because I'm preaching at the International Center. So either we play the hymn as I leave to get to the sermon on time, or Pastor Mark Smith continues talking.
No, that's okay. You can play the hymn.
Oh, okay. We'll play the hymn. He loves hearing this hymn.
It's a good hymn.
I don't know if you heard my promo on Jordan's Bank, The Baptist Cry. Here's the two questions. I recently was at the Bank of America. Is there a Bank of Jordan, and why is John the Baptist weeping?
He's crying out. He's not weeping.
Oh, he's not crying?
He's on Jordan's. He's on the riverbank of the Jordan River.
Oh,
baptizing so out the wilderness.
It's not a bank.
No, it's a riverbank.
See how confusing the Bible is?
Well, come on, Tom.
Okay. Yeah, it's bad enough the Bible's confusing, let alone hymns.
The Bible's not confusing. The problem is within our own perception. There's nothing wrong with the Bible.
But that's what confusion is from a perception point. Unbelievers are confused.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, if you would be so kind as to read the first verse with a proper understanding of what the bank is and the cry is.
Right, that's right. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings.
Yes, believe it or not, Charles Coffin, who died in 1749, he wrote this in Latin.
No kidding.
Yeah, this is the Latin text.
No kidding.
And
I'd like to hear that in Latin, wouldn't you?
Well, here it is. Jordanus oris pravia, vox eca baptista quatit. Praconis ad grandis sonos, ignavos abscendat sopar. That's the first verse. You want me to do the other five?
No, that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just wanted to hear the first verse in Latin.
Yes. I think you wanted to hear it sung.
Yeah, that'd be good, too.
Yeah, you
Let's
know,
hear you sing it, Tom. Come on. No, that's okay. I changed my mind.
I'd love to. We don't have enough time. No, I tell you, Bach's cantatas, every time you hear them, they're always in the original language he used, German.
J.S. Bach's cantatas.
Yeah. You rarely hear an English translation of those.
Uh-huh.
Never thought about that?
Yeah.
It's just that the German is so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. It's kind of like on...
You know what they always say?
No, I don't.
They say that, in the garden they spoke Hebrew, but then they fell into sin. No, it's the other way. It's the other way around. In the Garden of Eden originally, prior to the fall, they spoke German. Then they fell into sin and started speaking Hebrew.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding, of course.
I think that would be the Tower of Babel.
Okay, what were you going to say?
That the first stanza, so you're talking about on the bank of the River Jordan. I had a pastor who wanted to baptize his grandchild in my church, which I okayed.
Yeah.
And he brought water from the Jordan River.
Yes, I know. I remember our family did the same thing with my niece years ago. My aunt had just been back from the Holy Land, and she brought with her a wine bottle of Jordan River water. And we used it.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, that was before I went to the seminary. I think about that now. I think,
Well, what kind of bothered me is that this was the fifth grandchild it was used on.
Is that right? They use the same water?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I know. But, in fact, I baptized a child last Sunday, and we were getting ready. When I entered the church, they didn't have the font ready or anything.
Uh-huh.
And so they said, well, I'll go get some water. I said, well, make sure it's holy water. And the layman looked at me, we got to use holy water? Oh, yeah. Or it won't work.
I got a better one than that. You know, I don't know if I told you. You know, I'm a grandpa now.
Yes.
Yeah, for almost a month.
Yeah.
And when we baptized my granddaughter, I got so flustered running around everything, I almost forgot to put water in the font.
Oh. No, we could give some stories about font water, I'll tell you. The worst one that ever happened to me, I had 3 children and 2 adults. And the way I baptized them, I did with the youngest first. And the father held the baby over the font, but was holding it by the stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
And it threw up into the font.
Oh,
boy.
Well, my brother-in-law, when he was little, when he was baptized, he dropped his pacifier in the font when he was being baptized.
Mm. That's interesting.
But your story is, that tops all of us.
Yeah, one time, have you ever had babies really crying loud when they're being baptized?
Yes.
And somebody asked me after the service, did that bother me? I said, no, that was just the way God is showing how Satan was being removed. It's an exorcism.
You renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
That's right. Boy, I tell you. All right. He announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. What's the other word for glad tidings?
Good news.
Yes, which is the Greek word for gospel.
Gospel.
Yeah. So right away, John the Baptist is preparing for the hearing of the good news. He has a baptism of repentance. That's really important to understand that. Because he even says later on, the one who is going to come, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with water and the...
And the Spirit.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And so...
I've got one for you. I've got a question for you. Let me ask you this. Was John the Baptist's baptism, was that a means of grace?
No.
Okay.
It's ceremonial law.
It's ceremonial law. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I understand it.
Okay.
It's not that his preaching didn't lead to conversion. I want to be careful where I do that.
Uh-huh.
But the sacramental baptism of Pentecost is quite different because it didn't give, John the Baptist didn't give the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... There was a lot of washing in the Old Testament as part of the ceremonial laws, and none of them were, in a sense, sacramental. In other words, I don't believe that when John the Baptizer baptized people that they received a new heart, a contrite spirit. You know, that came about through either hearing his sermons and confessing their sin. And remember, he had a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, in preparation of.
Right, right.
And so that's how I would consider that.
Okay.
Anything else?
I'm just pondering that, because I could be wrong, but I think I've heard some who said that they did believe it was a means of grace.
Well, then...
I think there's difference of opinion on the difference between John the Baptist's baptism and Christian baptism. There is difference of opinion on it, isn't it?
Pentecost, he's quoting from Joel as a fulfillment of what the Old Testament.
Right,
There's
right.
no quoting in John the Baptist's baptism of a means of grace.
Okay.
So when you're doing repentance, that's the work of the law. Look at the things he says. Soldiers need to be content with their wages, this kind of thing.
Right.
So he's doing second use of the law because these people, that's why the Pharisees did not like him at all.
Mm.
Because he was, remember, what did he call him? A brood of
vipers.
Yes. really good gospel. So,
who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
That's right. That's right.
Oh man, those Pharisees. Yeah, they must have hated.
No, they hated John the Baptizer. They hated Jesus. They hated the apostles.
I always laugh at that one episode where they say, Jesus says, "I'll ask you a question, and you tell me, and then I'll tell you." Was John the Baptist from heaven or from man? They said, "Well, if we tell him one day, we can't do that. We tell him the other way, we can't. We don't know."
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, that's right.
Oh,
and Jesus
says,
"Well, then I'm not going to tell you either." Because if they said he was from man, the people would be angry.
Right.
If he said he was from God, then Jesus would say, "Well, then why didn't you believe in him?" Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
they were caught.
No, I tell you, I'm going to be writing a book on this, or at least an essay, how often Jesus witnesses through questions.
Uh-huh.
Again and again. Like, who do men say that I am? And then he takes off from there. You know.
Well, it's a matter of teaching, just like the catechism.
The questions and answers.
It's just the basic way of teaching.
Yes. I was listening to Issues, Etc. recently, and the pastor here, whose pastor of the LCMS was on there.
Oh, Matt Harrison, you're talking about.
No, he's a president.
Well, he's also a pastor.
Well, that's true. But
who are you talking about, Tom?
You don't remember? He's upstairs?
No.
Yeah, he does a lot of the sermons here. I'll give you a few minutes to think about it.
Oh, okay.
At any rate, he was really railing against parents not teaching the catechism at home.
Mm-hmm.
He says that was one of the great successes of the devil, that they put the catechism in a school setting with a bunch of kids, rather than, as Luther intended it, as the head of the house. Yes.
Yes.
Is to teach it. And so that was really a kind of a good point there that I've been trying to do that. I've done that with confirmation classes where I expect the parents to be like maybe doing the memory work and going over the morning prayers. And there's a lot involved with those things.
Well, that's one good reason why we have the Luther's Catechism included in the hymnal, in the Lutheran service book. You know, it's included.
Yes. Right, and a new translation, too. Have you got the new catechism yet?
No, but I plan, well, I'm interested in getting a copy.
Yeah, take a look at it. Can you read stanza two?
God, then cleansed be every life from sin, make straight the way for God within, and let us all our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there.
For Christ to come and enter there. Okay, how would you explain how every life is cleansed from sin?
By baptism.
Yes, but what does it mean to be cleansed?
Absolved.
Absolved. That's why they use water. And it's kind of interesting that it doesn't get rid of sin.
Okay.
What it gets rid of is the curse of the law.
The curse of the law, right.
Which is what?
Doesn't get rid of concupiscence.
Oh, what is that word?
That's the tendency to sin, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've never understood this, that people are saying that if you have a tendency to want to sin, that's not sin itself until you actually do it. And I just don't agree.
No, that's
with
out
that.
Of the out of the heart proceed.
That's right.
It's a sin already with the thought, word, and deed.
And all you need to do is go to the Sermon on the Mount.
That's right.
To figure that one out. That it's pretty clear that there in the Sermon on the Mount, we have that sin. So we're cleansed, which is kind of interesting because the opposite happened with Jesus.
Yes.
Explain that. How?
He took on all of our sins upon himself in baptism. That's what was necessary about his baptism, is that divine exchange. We take his righteousness, and he takes on our sin.
Yeah, glorious exchange, yes. Because the first verse talks about the Lord is nigh, and then the second verse talks about the benefits of the Lord being nigh, that cleansed be every life from sin and make straight the way for God within. And we make straight the way where we don't defend our sin. That's repentance.
Mm-hmm. Like the publican in the temple. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross I cling.
In comparison to the Pharisee. Thank God I'm not like
this other guy.
Tax collector. And then when he announces why he's not like that, I always find it interesting. He talks about his obedience to the ceremonial laws.
Uh-huh.
Rather than to any moral laws. I find that really good. All right, I'll read 3. We hail thee as our Savior, Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Without thy grace, we waste away like flowers that wither and decay. Now, the word I would want you to explain, if you've got a child that's going through this with you, how do we get a reward? Aren't rewards merited?
Let's see. Our refuge and our great reward. Good question.
Well, I wouldn't ask it if it was a bad question.
Let's see. Our refuge and our great reward. Without thy grace, we waste away like flowers. You got me, Tom. I hadn't thought of that. That's a good question. Our refuge and our great reward. Well, of course, it's pure grace. I mean, it's a gift.
That's the way to say it, is that just because it's a gift doesn't mean it's a reward.
A payment. It's not a payment.
You just said it earlier, the glorious exchange. Jesus wins the award and then gives it to us as a reward.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one can say, therefore, that I have been rewarded with the benefits of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and on down the line. The word reward doesn't always mean that it's something that you merit.
Merit.
For instance, would you not consider an inheritance, say $1 million, and somebody asks you what you get? Oh, I got a big reward.
Yeah, used loosely.
Yes, yeah.
It's a gift.
But not spent loosely.
Right.
$1 million. Yeah, I know these people say, you know, money isn't everything, but I'd like to test it out for a while. I was trying to think. I was going...
Oh, I remember a line from Fiddler on the Roof. What did Red Tevye say? He said, oh, you know, people talk about money being a curse. May I be so cursed?
Yes, very good. Yeah, I was going down the street, and there was a big sign up, and it was like 191. And I said, boy, I got to find that gas station, you know, for $1.91. And I looked closer, and it was a lottery number, 191 million.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
And so you think, okay, what would I do with $191 million? Probably fix the ceiling in my kitchen. That'd be one thing. Boy, can you imagine? I was in an area over near 141, and the houses must be like 10, 15,000 square feet, decorated for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the one place I drove by, they had a big party there. And they actually had people who would park your car at the beginning of the driveway. And the house was just gorgeous. It was long, tall, and Christmas lights all over the place. Boy, yeah. And you just think, boy, can you imagine the property tax on that? Man, that gets expensive. But anyway, getting back then, our refuge and our great reward. Jesus, and you said it well, by grace we receive him as our great reward. That's what the reward is. Stanza four.
Lay on the sick thy healing hand, and make the fallen strong to stand. Show us the glory of thy face, till beauty springs in every place.
See, this is not talking about John the Baptist. It's talking about who he's crying about, who right. he's announcing.
Right.
And isn't it interesting, the Sunday school lesson for this week I did for Issues yesterday, they wanted me on Monday, was about Peter and John healing the lame man. And he asked for, you know, gifts from them. And what's the first gift they give him? Is the sins are forgiven and he gets healed.
Right. You're talking about the man at the beautiful gate? Is that the healing?
I'm not sure it was at the beautiful gate, but once he's healed, I said he didn't run to McDonald's.
No.
He ran to the temple.
Right, right. I think that's the healing I'm thinking of.
Okay. And he was lame. And
his silver and gold I have not to give you, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk, right?
Yeah. You're talking about Peter and John talking.
The man was begging at the beautiful gate.
That's right. And then what I really like is Peter and John saying, why are you looking at us, all the people?
Right.
We did not do it. He was healed by Jesus, his Savior. And that's where I made the distinction in the Sunday school. You and I don't have power.
No.
But we have authority.
Right.
And that authority comes from God.
From God.
In the stead of, I forgive your sins.
Right. That's right.
Stanza five. And
go ahead.
I'll praise eternal Son to thee, whose advent sets thy people free, whom with the Father we adore and Holy Spirit evermore.
It's in a doxological verse, too.
Yeah, when you say doxological, you mean it's Trinitarian.
Right.
Yes, and that's why they have a little
triangle.
A lot of times the organist will do a little interlude there.
Right.
And then everybody stands up and then we sing that. At least it's better for the opening hymn where everybody sits down when they sing, stand up for Jesus. I always make a point. And we will stand for the first hymn. When you had Reformation, did you all stand for a Mighty Fortress?
Oh, yes. That's just understood.
Yeah.
You know, everybody stands for that.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, in heaven, I think, boy, with the choirs and such like that, we'll be standing for a lot, for sure.
I'm sure we will.
I am. Looking forward to that. So, good hymn for Advent.
It's a great hymn.
Yep.
What's your favorite Advent hymn, Tom?
I haven't really thought about that yet.
You haven't thought about that?
No.
I always like, you know, Watchmen Tell Us of the Night. That did not make it into this hymnal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but we still use it.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. All right. I've got to get going to preach. So what you're going to be hearing now is the hymn again, and we'll be back, God willing, next Tuesday, right?
That's the plan.
Okay. And here's the hymn once more.
gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.